Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me all the way over there?
Yes, I can hear you now.
It's been a long time, so I figure that means it's harder to hear me for some reason.
Yes, I think the increased volume jogs the memory.
Well, you gotta overcome the distance of time. Time is a distance.
Yes. Well, time is also the fire in which we burn, but that's neither here nor there.
Is that a Star Trek? Did you come out with the Star Trek right away?
Maybe. It's been a while. It makes the Star Trek grow fonder. So how you holding up there, Danny boy?
I'm fine. I feel like you need to be more specific with that question these days.
Well, I feel like there's this thing where when you ask somebody that, you want them to say something back to you that's like, "Oh, not so bad," or "Great." You don't really want like the truth.
You don't want the truth.
No,
You
you can't
you
handle
can't
the
handle the
truth.
truth.
No.
See, there we go. Title. I'm good. I think. Did I just? What has happened? Okay, never mind. I don't know how to use computers anymore, to be honest.
Well, I mean, it's been a while since we've recorded, so there are certain things that aren't just in our normal repertoire, like streaming things or opening apps or
Yeah,
expecting
time
call
was you used
recorders
to
to be installed.
just talk and then things would happen and it'd be good to go. Now you got your fangled new whatcha who's it's and dealing with bobs and everything's all confusing. Why has it got to be so complicated?
Yeah.
Right there, we should do a needle drop of Avril Lavigne.
Should we?
Sure.
Should we?
What are they gonna do? DMCAS?
I mean, I don't know. She strikes me as somebody who could go either way on that one.
She's Canadian, though. She's very polite, I'm sure.
I suppose. So,
Joe.
Dan,
Joe.
we'll pull back the curtain a little bit. We had done our episode 300.
Was 800 years ago. We
Yeah.
recorded an episode about 300.
Yeah, it's in Spartan years. Yeah, see, the thing is, we were like, "Oh yeah, we're going to be really on top of it 'cause we'll do our member episode and we'll do our episode on 300 and we'll release those." And sure, Joe's just going to be moving this next week, and Dan's got one little projecty thing he's got to do, and then
You took time off work. You had it all scheduled out. You were going to be good to go.
life didn't find a way.
Finds a way. Life finds a way to ruin your schedule, I think, is what it does.
Life royally screws people. So we could not have a compatible scheduling situation. For a little bit, but that's fine because
I
it
mean, we
turned
could have
out.
had a podcast in between there, but it would have been like 20 minutes long and we just would have been like, falling asleep and or sobbing onto ourselves the entire time. And nobody wants to hear that. They
No.
want to hear us complain about technology and then like talk about sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah. Have you had any good sandwiches recently? I haven't.
Oh, buddy.
I had a bad one recently.
Oh, you had a bad sandwich? You had a bad experience with a sandwich?
Well, not, I shouldn't say bad. It met the requirements of what kind of sandwich it was.
Oh, would you call it a minimally viable sandwich? Is that the level we're going for here?
I mean, that's the level it was at, but it was not the level I was going for. But yeah, it
You
met
talk,
it.
you talking about like a basic ass grilled cheese kind of thing, or you was it
No,
more
no, no.
complicated and they didn't succeed?
No, I was wrapping up things at my Beverly Hills abode, and Jason went to get us lunch and pick up a sandwich because he was like, "A sandwich is great because you don't have any dishware anymore." And I was like, "Yeah, but I don't know where you want to go grab one right now." And I was naming like the delis that are in the area, and he didn't want a deli sandwich. And then I was like, "Okay, well, what about Jersey Mike's?" And then he says, "Yeah, sure." And so then he goes to Jersey Mike's.
No.
Yeah. And then
Oh boy. Okay, go
we had the
ahead.
Jersey Mike's, and he got it on the rosemary parmesan bread, which that's something. So it was what it was, and that was the last sandwich that I've eaten.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Boy, I can struggle to remember. You know what? Just to add insult to injury, it wasn't super recent, but the last time I had a Jersey Mike style sandwich was from Jimmy John's, which I will take over Jersey Mike's most days. But I got a delicious Cuban from Jimmy John's, which I got to tell you, it's not a Cuban sandwich, but it was fine.
Yeah.
I had ham and pickles, two things that I enjoy, and some mustard.
Mm-hmm. Swiss cheese.
I feel like it had some Swiss cheese, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, they tried. They didn't try very hard, but they tried. Their sandwiches are narrow and typically longer, but they also have good pickles.
So it's more of a more length than girth.
Yes, definitely more length than girth when it comes to Jimmy John.
Okay.
Mike's, I think, has more girth.
Yeah, that's why they call it Mike's Way.
Mike's Way or the highway, frankly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A little intimidating, to be honest.
But, yeah, so at least we both had chain Subway sandwiches, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had a salad tonight. It's pretty good.
Well, I had a salad, too. But it was a meal composed entirely of Trader Joe's components. Jason took over the shopping duties, grocery shopping duties, because I was busy. And he took it upon himself to go to a Trader Joe's for the first time since March, which is a bold choice. But there are certain things that he likes there. Like there's a cauliflower tabbouleh, and there's a herbed tahini, and then a hummus. And
hang on a second.
Yeah.
In the cauliflower tabbouleh, what is the cauliflower replacing?
I believe it is replacing the what is the cracked
the bulgur wheat?
The bulgur wheat. Yeah. So okay. It's basically just like a finely minced cauliflower pickle.
Do they get it real small, or is it kind of big and chunky?
It's pebbly, I would say.
Pebbly. Hmm. Yeah.
Like not as fine as bulgur wheat, but not huge.
See, when you say bulgur wheat, all I hear in my head is cheeseburger in paradise, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. Bulgur wheat in paradise.
Oh, there's a line in that song about bulgur wheat.
Oh. Okay.
And sunflower seeds.
I forgot. But
that's nice. Did you enjoy your Trader Joe's salad?
It was and then there was the salad, which is actually tomatoes, cucumber, and feta with red wine vinegar and olive oil and some oregano in it, all tossed together.
See, I know people call that a salad. I don't think that's a salad.
That's a salad.
Yeah, it's not a salad.
Dan,
it's a salad in the same way that somebody on the show Chopped will throw like four things together and then put a dressing on and call it a salad.
Okay, so are you a lettuce purist that it needs to have lettuce in it to be a salad?
I think it needs some leafy greens to be a salad, yeah.
Well, what about tuna salad?
I don't like that at all.
What about potato salad? What about macaroni salad?
You know, I think when I think of those, I really ignore the second word in the sentence there.
Oh, you see, I would look to that to be some sort of an indication of what I would be expecting, because if someone gave me, if I said tuna salad and I got tuna, it'd be very different than
chunks of tuna on some lettuce.
Yeah.
Or well, how do you indicate a salad, a leafy green salad that has tuna on it?
Well, you would have a menu.
It's a salad with tuna instead of a tuna salad.
Well, if you're getting like a salad niçoise, with tuna.
Did you just make up another French word?
No, I did not make up a French word. Niçoise. It's a kind of salad, and it's got crappy olives and stuff in it that I hate.
Voulez-vous coucher?
Mm-hmm. Niçoise. Avec. Niçoise.
I would type that down as a title, but I don't know how to spell anything we just said.
Mm. It's fine. It's for the best. The French would be very upset.
The French are always upset.
Yeah.
But, I think that's what makes them the French.
But there are salads. There are salads that are not strictly speaking leafy green salads.
Because like, I guess when I think of a vegetable salad, I think leafy greens. If you're gonna do one of these weird sort of, it's kind of like a salad, but it's potatoes and mayo. Like that's a different thing. But
well, what do you call a potato salad then?
It's potato salad, but like it's potato salad. It's not potato salad.
Is this capital potato, lowercase salad?
Yes, exactly. It's potato that has been prepared in a salad type fashion versus salad made of potatoes.
You just said it. What is a salad type fashion?
I guess just a bunch of crap thrown together and stirred in a bowl.
Wow, it's almost like that's what a salad is, and your artificial restriction doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, but like I'm not going to call what I ate a lettuce salad.
Okay.
All I'm saying is I think what you ate needs a noun in front of it to more properly declare what it is.
Well, it was missing some of
the... Like a cucumber salad. Cucumber salad would be a way that I would understand in my head what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it was about equal parts of all of them.
Hmm.
It was cucumber, tomato, and feta salad.
Yeah, but the cheese isn't really the lead in most salads, and tomatoes are kind of a given in a lot of different kinds of salad. I think the outlier is the cucumber, I think you got to call that a cucumber salad.
1-inch cubes of feta, not crumbled feta, 1-inch cubes of feta. That's substantial enough that you would say there's feta in the salad.
Guess who's a feta size queen over here?
Yeah, I mean, that's some pretty girthy feta there.
As opposed to Jimmy John's feta, which is... less girthy the longer.
Yeah, it would just be like little shreds or crumbles. Well, you can't shred, but crumbles. Feta crumbles are such a rip. Never buy them. Buy the feta in the block. Chop it up yourself.
Oh, is that right? Is this a feta life hack?
Yeah, 100%. And it can. And what you want is sheep's milk or goat's milk feta. Try to avoid the stuff from Wisconsin that's made with cow's milk because it's not going to have that sharp taste to it that you want from feta.
Look at me. I'm Joe. I live in Los Angeles where we can get 800 different kinds of feta.
Yeah. Even in a global pandemic that has destroyed the world, I can get 800 different kinds of feta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really, it's about priorities and restoring the economy.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta force
Man's
people
to have his feta.
You got to force people back into movie theaters so that we can get more people interested in high-end movie theater snacks, and then that can push the economy forwards, and then eventually feta will trickle down the movie theaters, I'm sure.
Man, I haven't had an Icy or Junior Mints or Raisinets in, God, so long.
Yeah, because that was the only place you could get them was a movie theater.
Well, it's the only place I would eat them. It's part of the experience, is what I'm saying.
Okay, so I was going to say, what does that tell you about the product itself or versus, like, I don't know, the experience. It's just part of the experience.
It tells me that movies are better when you have a massive headache and sugar high.
Okay. Well, I mean, you could have a massive headache and sugar high right now.
To be honest, I kind of do. I'm still working my way through the 4 pounds of Sour Patch Kids that Micah sent me. Oh, wow. So I ate a few of those earlier. And I also have some whiskey.
I have some water.
Mm.
And some white wine with dinner, but water for right now.
What kind of white wine?
Some extremely basic Kim Crawford Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand.
that's the one with the commercial with the woman walking in the slow motion with the sunglasses in the grocery store.
Could be, yes. They also have one with like a couple of shows up in an apartment or something, and they have like a bottle or something. I don't remember.
Yeah, no, that's the ending shot of this commercial. They run it 800 times a day. And the main reason that I remember the commercial is because there's a very bad optical flow effect on one of the profile shots of the lady. Like her legs are like wavering because she's got this like weird patterned like yoga pants on as she's walking past a grocery store aisle, and you just see like the outline of her legs just doing this weird warbly thing, and it's because it's all optical flow slow-mo.
What a shame.
Yeah, wasted opportunity there, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could have been perfect otherwise.
She's also wearing a windbreaker and yoga pants, which I think is a weird combination.
Well, you know, don't judge. She's excellent taste in wine. But I'm just kidding. Kim Crawford's fine.
Well, I mean, if the two ladies entering the store and looking at her sort of like strut with envy are to be any indication, then yes, Kim Crawford is the lifestyle that you want to follow along with.
I think generally speaking, any wine that has a commercial is not a wine that you really want to envy.
Is that the rule of thumb?
I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there. I think
no, that does make sense, because if you need to advertise the alcohol, especially in the current climate, it's probably bad alcohol, because it's not hard to sell alcohol right now.
Yeah, well, see, the thing is, some of it's not bad, per se. It's just that, you know, you're not really getting, like, a deal. It's like, it's fine. But, you know.
Crowded marketplace.
Yeah.
Things of that nature.
Yeah, you can usually, if you go to, like, certain wine shops or other places, they'll usually have something that's a better quality on sale next to that. But you'll go with the brand, because the brand is a promise, as you know.
I like a nice label.
Mm-hmm. Do you like a nice promise?
No. No, I don't want to create any sort of formal or even informal bond between myself and somebody else. I just want to get drunk on my couch, pretty much.
So what's the bourbon that you're having with your Sour Patch Kids? What paired well with it?
Oh God, nothing pairs well with Sour Patch Kids. I did them in stages, one at a time. The liquor store has changed its selection a lot, and this one was recommended by somebody. It had like a little like, Josh, love this or whatever, and it was very reasonably priced. And at this point, I'm more interested in an economical purchase. And I'm not going for volume necessarily over quality, but volume is certainly a consideration. But it's I think it's called Black Ridge or something. I don't know. I've never heard of it before. Never had it before. It's not terrible. It's in the like $29 range, so it's on par with your various other things of that price point, like your Woodfords and your Maker's Marks and stuff like that.
So I've never heard of this one either. Is it?
I think it's called Black Ridge. Let me Google it real quick.
Is it Kentucky or
Black Ridge? Yeah, Black Ridge Bourbon is this. Yeah, is it? It's got a. They're trying to rip off like a Pappy Van Winkle style bottle, but you know, it's just basic. $29.99 Black Ridge Bourbon.
Exciting.
Yeah, well, it's fine.
Yeah, well,
it does the trick.
You said volume. So was it a large?
No,
amount?
It's a regular size bottle. I just mean in the fact that it's $29 and I can buy, you know, three of these for the price of like one mm-hmm. better bottle.
Ah.
God, even Eagle Rare is $35 now, and I know we have some dear friends who love the Eagle Rare, but their quality has dropped in the past year or so.
Yeah, it's I think I had a bottle of it back in the March April times. And it was kind of nothing special.
Yeah. Something happened that it like the finish, as they say, the aftertaste, it tastes a little cheaper. And also, it's incredibly hard to find these days, too. It's both hard to find and not as good. I'm not sure how they work that out.
Yeah. And then the most recent one I picked up after that Eagle Rare ran out was the Noah's Mill.
Oh, buddy.
I don't love it. I think I've come to the conclusion that I don't really value cask strength bourbons, or nearly cask strength. I forget if it's actually technically there, but it is a higher proof bourbon.
I think it's only like an 8 or 9% higher proof, but I do remember that one as being real hot. That was one of the ones I got in the early days of let's learn about bourbon. And it took me a long time to finish that bottle because it was hot. I know our good friend Toasty would beg to differ. He enjoys the Noah's Mill, but that one was not in my wheelhouse, so to speak.
Yeah, I think that might be why I picked it up. But yeah, it's a little hot, as you said. I think
it comes in that cool wine bottle.
It does. It is slightly better labeling than Rowan's Creek.
Oh God! Every time I see it in the store, it's like, oh, there's the Joe Bourbon. Yeah. Looks like a 4-year-old drew the label with crayon.
It's
but,
such a bad label.
Maybe one of these days, somebody will. Do you think they're fully into like, oh, it's tradition. We got to keep our shitty label.
Yeah. I think at this point they're all in on that one until somebody dies. But it is, Angostura. Like, supposedly the story was that there are two brothers, and one of them bought the bottle, and one of them bought the label, and the one who bought the label bought them too big for the bottle.
Is that what it is?
Supposedly. I don't know if that's actually true. But that's why the paper always sticks up, and they have the technology to not have it be that way. but they just decided that is tradition, and so all those Angostura bitters are like that. Even the orange one, which was introduced later, and it's just like, you guys know that you could change it up a little and have like labels that don't look like a crinkly, spotty mess. But whatever.
Yeah, it's speaking of alcohol that needs to advertise. Maker's Mark continues to run the advertisement where they're like, Johnny does a deep dip and Mikey does a gentle dip and Allison dips counterclockwise. That's why every bottle has literally unique wax drips on it. And they're like, you know, hand dipped for something or other. And it's just a bunch of, you know, slow motion, like a conveyor belt, like I Love Lucy of people grabbing Maker's Mark bottles and dipping them in red wax. But that's the other thing that I remember seeing a lot of these days.
Yeah. There was some controversy when I forget who bought Maker's Mark, but somebody bought them and they watered it down. I think it was Jim Beam or whoever it is that owns Jim Beam. And they watered down the Maker's Mark to stretch it out a little more.
Well, you're halfway there. They were going to water down, I think it was the Maker's 46, the better one, but there was so much backlash they decided not to do it. So many people got mad at it. Maker's 46 is not bad. It's still probably overpriced for what it is, but it really takes some of that that harsh edge off.
Yeah, see, I like a smooth bourbon, a wheated bourbon usually. But
you like a sweeter bourbon, don't lie.
Yeah. I'm perfectly happy with Four Roses single barrel or a small batch. Those two Four Roses are perfectly A-okay with me. There's not too much heat. They're not too wild with any sort of like rye spice or anything. Mm-hmm. Very, very chill.
Yeah.
Good for
mixing. That's what I'm drinking here. It's pretty right up the middle.
Yeah,
it's nothing to write home about, but it'll do the trick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just because these days, my version of self care involves getting a little drunk and watching reruns of Letterkenny. It didn't start that way, but this has been a weird week. Like, you know, Amanda's like watching.
It's the start of a week.
This past week. Amanda's dipping into the spooky season shows, so she burned through that one that you did with the lady Ratchet.
Oh.
And she moved over to Castle Rock, which, you know.
Oh, I also did that one.
Yeah, I know. So she's been in her headphones watching on her iPhone for a little while, and there was a gap in some things in my YouTube feed and on the DVR, and I was like, you know what, let's watch a couple of Letterkennys. And I was a little drunk watching Letterkenny, and I felt viscerally happy for a little while, like giggling to myself. I was like, you know what? Screw it. We're not going to watch anything else. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to watch these same episodes we've been watching again. And we're going to have a few drinks and then we're going to enjoy ourselves for this tumultuous week. And, you know,
I mean, that's not so far out of what other people have been doing during the pandemic, where comfort viewing, as it is called, has ticked up, where people are revisiting older sitcoms and shows that aired many decades ago, and they're finding comfort and solace in that. Even though it's not new or riveting or whatever, there's an expected rhythm to things. There's some satisfaction from seeing those same beats revisited.
Yeah, speaking of that, we also, when we're done watching things for the evening, Amanda will usually click over and watch an episode or two of the show Mom on Nickelodeon. I don't know if you're familiar. Allison Janney and what's her name? Used to be married to Chris Pratt.
Yeah. But I thought that was on CBS. But I guess same parent company.
Yeah, the reruns are on Nickelodeon, starting at like 10:30 or 11 p.m. So we've watched a lot of that too. And that's the only justification for that is comfort viewing, because, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a three camera sitcom nonsense, but it's also weirdly serious because it's about, you know, addiction and rehab and stuff.
Mm. Anyway. Fun.
Make it fun.
It doesn't clash with your buzz.
No, those are usually sober evenings. But to be honest, you know, heavy pour a bourbon or a beer and a half and some Letterkenny is a good way to forget your cares for a little while.
Yeah, I don't know. I've had any level of inebriation that I would classify as high for like a pretty long time just because of the amount of things that I had to do and the stress level that I'm at. So it's usually like a glass of wine or for a bit we were making Dark and Stormies, which are good. But for a long time, Jason insisted that he hated, absolutely hated ginger beer and wouldn't have a Dark and Stormy, and they were awful. And then I bought a bunch of ginger beer, and it was the Reed's Extra Ginger beer. So they're really punchy. And he was just like, hey, okay, fine, I'll make it. And then he's like, okay, so I actually really like this. And so then he went to go ahead and make it again. But this most recent batch, he bought ginger ale instead of ginger beer. And I was trying I was trying to explain to him the difference between the two. Because ginger beer is not actually like a beer. You're not going to get drunk off of that. But it's just like it's a soda like ginger ale is. But the amount of ginger that's in it is just so much higher in ginger beer than in ginger ale. In ginger ale, it's like a whiff of ginger refreshment and a lot of saccharine sweetness.
Yeah. It's a Sprite with a little bit of ginger flavor.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a totally different thing than having a ginger beer, which is much more of a bold thing going on, especially if you're getting the Reed's Extra ginger beer.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's nice. For some reason, I recently bought some beer as well, and beer hits me harder than liquor these days for some reason. I'm not sure what that's all about. Maybe it's just because it's easier to consume quickly. But I find the best way to have more than a single glass of something is to let Amanda pour it for me because she's terrible at pouring. I was laying on an ice pack because I have a bad back on the couch, and she offered to pour one for me. And she basically poured me half of a rocks glass with no ice in it, just full of bourbon. She's like, oh, no, maybe I need to pour some of this back in the bottle. And she got a little funnel and poured some of it back. But it was still a very hefty pour. And it was fine. Worked for me.
That's a lot.
It was a lot, yes. But, you know, it was earlier in the evening. I think it was a Saturday. I didn't really have anything to do the next day.
Oh, okay. No. Yeah. I think that's one of the key issues is that there's always something to do. So it's, you know, different. Yeah. Fun.
Yeah. Do you, you got any downtime these days?
There is no downtime. Mm. Our pastimes basically consist of unpacking some stuff or unboxing something that came in the mail.
Nice.
Arranging things, cleaning the dishes from food from the day. And then we watch like a few YouTube videos and then it's bedtime.
Are these fun YouTube videos or are these YouTube videos about like home repair that you're going to try and do yourself?
They're I guess fun. They're just like innocuous cooking YouTube videos.
Mm. You watching Merlin's teppanyaki videos?
No. It's just like there's a YouTube channel called like UK Panel TV Shows. And they have a lot of UK cooking show content that's on their channel and they just run it because it's produced I guess by the BBC or something over in the UK, and then they get the licensing rights to have it on their YouTube channel and then run it with ads. So it's not like illegally ripped stuff. You know, it's not like Bob 29 no copyright intended put them up, but it is very British. So there's like a Jamie Oliver show and like Rachel Koo and stuff. So it's fine. I still find Jamie Oliver incredibly annoying. So I try to like look at my phone or do dishes or something.
I feel like I have that same sentiment. I'm not sure I even know who Jamie Oliver is.
Just go watch a Jamie Oliver video. It's a very shouty thing going on. That's just, you know, it's relaxation. That's what relaxation is. Because my work day is work the whole day. And in the morning, I wake up when the sun is out because we still have temporary paper blinds up because...
Oh, no.
They haven't been... the real ones haven't been installed.
Oh, are they there just like sitting on the ground mocking you?
Yes. The real ones arrived in a box, and the installers, the soonest they can come is tomorrow.
And this isn't a do-it-yourself kind of installation?
Dan, how long have you known me?
Not long enough to know what you're like in a sort of DIY around the house kind of thing.
Well, let me...
You could always lean on the excuse of, like, I'm not allowed to modify things in my apartment here because they break and modify things enough on their own.
Yeah, well, I mean, this isn't my apartment anymore. This is...
Exactly.
The house. Yeah.
You get to make all your own personal mistakes.
I don't want to. And there are installers who will install the blinds for you.
Yeah, but you got to pay them.
I mean, I don't know. Time and correctness or money? Like, I didn't want to... I didn't want to, like, order the wrong size. Because we were also... These aren't, like, the cut them at the store... like vinyl blinds or any of that stuff. No mini blinds or any of that. These are technically roller shades, which have somehow come back into vogue, I guess. But
roller shades, is that...
I'm where sure you, I know what that is. You have, it's basically like a roll of toilet paper. And you pull it down.
Oh, what, the spring-loaded things?
Yes.
Oh, where if you like... miss the little teeth or whatever, it'll go flying up into the air like a Donald or like a Daffy Duck cartoon.
No, because they changed how those work now.
Oh, yeah. Actually, this is where it's sort of just like weighted and it just sort of like stays wherever you put it.
No, those ones are really expensive. This you pull down and then let go, and it just stops right where it is. It doesn't like fly back up. So you have that level of adjustment with it.
Well, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very gentle movement. We have to, they'll be installed, and then hopefully there's no issue taking down the temporary paper blinds that were up this whole time because we needed some kind of privacy.
Are they just like taped to the wall?
Well, there's this product called Ready Shade, and they are basically these accordion folded pieces of paper. With adhesive on one end. And,
oh, yeah, I know these.
Yeah, and you cut them with a box cutter to be whatever size you need them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so we applied them to the windows that really needed it. There are many obscured views into the home from other windows. But hopefully when the adhesive comes off, it's just like pulling off some tape and it's not like... ripping off pieces of paint or plaster or something.
Yeah. Generally speaking, these are very poorly made. So yes, you'll be fine. Yeah. I had one of like a half circle window above a regular window in the den of my dad's house growing up. And I had one of these stupid things in there because that was the only thing that would cover it.
Yeah. They had that at the store. And I was like, who has those windows anymore? But
the suburbs of Phoenix. Yeah. It's exactly the same product. You just like clip the ends together and then like fold out the other side.
Yeah, it looked exactly the same. But these ones are just like an accordion that hangs from the ceiling. But they're not great because they also don't obscure that much light because they're just paper.
You get the white see through ones.
No, they're not. I mean, they're not see through, but like,
well, they're
they don't block a lot of light.
They make them in like solid black.
Well, we didn't want to put those up. So these are just white. They're just white paper.
Got to be conscious of the energy bill there.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not really the energy bill. It's just that it's bright in the morning when I'm in bed and I don't want to get up, but I got to get up because it's bright.
I still think about it to this day. In freshman year of college, one of my high school friends came with me like first week of moving into my dorm, and he was a morning person and I was not. And I still remember to this day, he jumped up on my bed and started jumping up and down next to me saying, "You got to get up. You got to get up. You got to get up in the morning." And it's a song that has been seared into my brain for the past 18 years. And I still think of it, and I still hate you, Kelly. specifically for that.
How often did this happen?
Once, maybe twice. He's just, I'm not a morning person, and it was very traumatic to be woken up in such a way that I will never forget it.
Hmm. Yeah. But he was a great roommate in all other ways.
No. He was a lacrosse player that I met and knew in high school. I mean, he's still alive. I don't know why I'm referring to him in the past tense. He lives in Chandler, I think.
Yeah.
So you think of that in terms of things getting you out of bed in the morning. I mean, if you guys ever get a pup for the house, that'll get you up in the morning.
I don't want to get up. I want to sleep. But I don't know. Maybe it's a good thing to have something that gets me in the rhythm of being up early. Because I was actually like online doing work early. So I could clock out a little earlier, and it just made the day move more smoothly. So that was,
yeah,
you know, it's been fine doing that.
You do have those weird days where for some random reason you're up like an hour or two early, and you get so much done. And you're like, wow, this is kind of a refreshing feeling. I wish that I could get up at this time every day, and then I would feel like I get so much done, and I wouldn't feel like I was, you know, constantly rushing through my day and behind the eight ball for 8 hours straight, and then I just want to pass out on the couch.
Mm.
Doesn't happen very often.
No. Well,
but speaking of sleep,
mm-hmm.
The lovely woman I share this home with recently got an Apple Watch because she wanted one, and she wanted to start doing sleep tracking because she insists that she gets terrible sleep, way worse sleep than me. This, I swear to God, I'm so mad. According to the app that we are both using, she gets more than double the amount of deep sleep than I do, and it makes me so angry. So angry. Like, from the moment she falls asleep, she gets like three uninterrupted hours of deep sleep, where it just, like, if you looked at the graph, you would think she literally died. And then there's a little bit of like stirring, and then she goes back to deep sleep. Like, she's got like, I think she got 5 hours of deep sleep last night, which is absurd. It is offensive. And I hate it so much.
Yeah,
it's so rude.
Jason's similar, although he doesn't have an Apple Watch. So there's no sleep tracking in this scenario, but like, it'll be like, okay, it's bedtime. And then he'll just like close his eyes and he's immediately asleep. And just like, that's it. And I'll be laying there, like, staring at the ceiling, trying to, like, count up or down in various ways to go to sleep. And it's just not happening.
That's a terrible affliction. And I had that for the first 25, 30 years of my life. I can fall asleep easily now. The problem is I don't get restful sleep, and I don't stay asleep because I roll around because I have a horrible back, and I have one bed. Collarbone, so there's really no way to lay where I'm comfortable. I wish, God, I would trade my soul for the ability to sleep on my back, because it would be so great and I would feel so much better in the morning, but I am physically incapable of sleeping on my back. I'll choke on my tongue.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be nice.
I like sleeping on my back.
Oh God, I wish I could do it. I wish I could fall asleep on my back, but I end up just like startling myself awake with like one giant like snore sound because I'm like about to eat my tongue, and then I have to lay on my left.
Oh, are you sure you don't have like a sleep apnea thing going on?
I'm pretty sure I don't. No, I can sleep fine in any other position. It's just for some reason, it's just the head angle and my jaw angle or something going on there that I can't. I will snore loudly, and it's not ideal.
Mm. Okay.
Anyway, maybe I should check the, I got last for Christmas, I got Amanda the thing that you stick to your forehead that checks if you have sleep apnea that Micah recommended, and she doesn't have it, so maybe now I give it a try.
Yeah. You just give her all the sleep technology to try and make her sleeping, you know, go more smoothly, and then find out that you're the one who's actually got a problem.
It's true. I mean, I really enjoy the sleep tracking. I've been hashtag Apple Watch sleep tracking lifestyle for a while now, and I enjoy having the data. I know exactly how much sleep I need to feel like a normal human being. I don't always get it, but it's nice to know. But yeah, I just, you know, there's not much I can do to the environment to make it better. Like, you know, we got white noise coming from 8 different directions. It's dark as hell in there. Usually have enough time. My body aches. There's no way to not have pain in the morning.
Yeah. Well, you got to try that topical CBD cream. you know, put that on.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I occasionally lay on an ice pack to like literally freeze my lower back, into numbness before I fall asleep sometimes. But yeah, to be honest, the way I get the best sleep is by taking two Aleve right before I go to bed.
Yeah. Well, you got to watch out doing that and, having your, 5 ounces of bourbon.
Yeah. Well, it's usually one or the other. My nighttime back treatment is, either alcohol or Aleve, not both, because I'm not that dumb, but you know, there is something about taking two Aleve every night before bed, which is probably also not great for me, but you know,
it's not supposed to be good to do that on a long term. I had an aunt, in the past tense, she's still alive, but she slipped on at the top of her stairs. She had wood stairs. And I guess she had socks or something on and just slipped on the first couple steps and hit her hip and tailbone. And instead of going in to see anyone, she was just popping ibuprofen like crazy. And then it finally got so bad that she went to the doctor and they're like, well, not only did you actually have a fracture, but you might be doing damage to your kidneys with the amount of ibuprofen that you've been ingesting. And so then she was very anti-ibuprofen after that, where she would advise anyone to not take anything for their pain. And it's like, I don't know if that's really the thing, is like, you don't go like pendulum swing from one to the other. But yeah, it's tricky with pain management stuff.
Yeah, it's just, you know, how much sleep do you want to get tonight?
Yeah. So what's the sleep? You said sleep tracking app. So you're not using the default thing.
No, I like Auto Sleep because it's got rings and it's got some interesting breakdown data and it's got nice graphs. I like that one. It's like $4 or whatever, but I made her get that one too. I tried all of the ones initially. There's 3 or 4 on my phone. I don't even remember what they are. I enjoy the data from Auto Sleep. You get your sleep time, your restful sleep time, and then your deep sleep time. And it breaks them down in little rings that look like activity rings. And you know, who doesn't like activity rings? It's fun.
I hate activity rings.
You gotta catch them all.
every day around noon. You're usually further ahead. You're usually further along than you are today. And it's like, no, I'm never further along than this. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, you got to turn all that stuff off too. That's the pro tip I gave Amanda about her watch, is turning off notifications. She's still getting used to it. She thought the breathe notifications were some indication that maybe the watch sensed she wasn't breathing enough and that she should just breathe more.
No,
I informed her yesterday that it was actually an active thing that you click on and then it tells you to breathe for 60 seconds. She didn't understand that was a thing.
Can you name something worse about the Apple Watch experience than the breathe notification?
I turned it off probably within the first month, and I haven't turned it on since then. Although, supposedly, again, the sleep app says that you're supposed to do a breathe as soon as you wake up because it sort of like sets a baseline for your waking heart rate. I'm not going to do any of that bullshit.
Eat me. I don't have any capacity for this nonsense. I also, similar to you, turned that off, but I had to reset my Apple Watch in order to upgrade to iOS 7 recently, because Apple makes OS updates for their watches that don't fit on their watches, and there's no way to actually like purge data off of these things.
You really got to get the 64 gigabyte Apple TV. That's what you need.
The 64 gigabyte Apple TV. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really annoying doing that, and then it turned back on all the breathe notifications, and I was just like, no, you piece of crap! Like you don't get to do that to me.
Mm. Do you leave stand notifications on too?
I do, because I find it can be a helpful reminder if I get like really lost in what I'm working on that I should actually move around a little bit.
Yeah.
Live my life by what the results of the stand situation is, because it's so bad at detecting whether or not you're standing. It is absurd. There are so many times where I'm sitting down and it's like, you've hit your stand goal, and it's like, you dum-dum. And then other times where you've been standing for quite some time, but because you weren't moving in a certain way and holding your wrist in a certain way, it didn't count it as standing. It doesn't seem to have any like sort of AI to figure out that you got up from a seated position to a standing position. It seems to rely on some other metrics that don't seem to be very accurate. So I don't know.
I feel like I should turn those back on. I don't stand up at all during the day while I'm working, and I have a standing desk or a, you know, sit stand desk, and I just don't do it.
No, that's why you paid extra for it. So you never stand at it.
I paid very little for it because it's from IKEA and it's kind of ugly, but it's fine.
Does it at least have like memory positions or anything? Or is
it has no memory positions. Oh. That's probably the main reason I don't adjust it. I like just having the adjustability because I can get it to the correct height for my disfigured body that needs the right desk height for my tablet and keyboards and things.
Yeah. But I understand that. I think that having the memory function really makes you use that more because then you don't need to like adjust. You're going in between two settings.
You just hit the button and be like, it's stand time now. And then you just hit the button again and you go sit back down.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. How's your new setup?
I'm in my new setup right now.
Yeah, you sound pretty good.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll find out with the recording. There was some anomalies in the 300 recording. I did a test recording before this and everything seemed fine. So hopefully, knock on pressed bamboo, that this is fine too. I don't have a stand desk. I have a relatively inexpensive desk that is fine. It is okay. I mainly was concerned with the aesthetics of having just something that didn't scream Office Max in here. And so it's white with a the standard tan beige bamboo top. But for some reason, they etched fake wood grain into that as if it was oak.
Yeah, my IKEA has fake wood grain on the top of it too, and it just collects dust and looks like crap.
It looks terrible. I mean, at some point, I may like rent a sander or something from Home Depot and just like go to town on this. But
you want to get into that particle board underneath it?
Well, there's no particle board underneath it. The whole thing is pressed bamboo.
Mm.
It's like a cutting board.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not a veneer. It's just. You can literally
won't hang out blinds for yourself, but you're going to go get a sander and sand your table down.
Well, I said someday I might, which means I won't do it, Dan. But it's still something that I can think about doing.
Put a tablecloth on.
Yeah, it's nice that I have like a desk that is mine in a space, and it's not covered with crap. And I have an office chair that's quiet and comfortable to sit in, which is not something that I've had ever in my home setup, either at my apartment or at Jason's apartment. And I have my microphone on its same stand I was using at Jason's, but I should get like an arm, I think, just because it's a little awkward to have this pole that you drag around the room. I got the same crappy Samsung that I panic bought in March when everything went to crap, and it's hooked up to the same garbage adapter. I need to get a more thorough dock situations squared away for this. But it's nice. I don't have to plug and unplug anything. It just sits there all day. Although occasionally the MacBook is like, please enter your password to enable Touch ID or watch unlock. And it's just like, but why? You were doing that like 5 hours ago. It was working fine. I don't understand you. But that's just life.
Today I ran into, maybe the past 2 days, my computer will just say unlocking with Apple Watch and just sit there and spin for like 5 minutes. And then it'll say like, enter your password. Like, okay, cool. The Bluetooth is not working. That's good to know.
I mean, one of these days Apple will get Bluetooth nailed down.
Yeah.
Just don't know when it'll be, but, sometime. I still have the thing where sometimes I'll be using the mouse and it'll just stop. And it's like, what are you doing?
Disconnected, yeah. Reconnected, disconnected, reconnected. It's fun. Yeah.
It doesn't even say disconnected or reconnected. It just stops. Like the cursor just stops on the screen. And then you hold up the mouse and look on the bottom and you're like, did the battery die? And there's a little flashing light underneath, you know, presumably for connection issues. It's a Logitech. Or Logi or Loggy. I don't know. They dropped the tech.
Why did they do that?
Because it's cleaner. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. It looks real dumb.
Yeah, I don't like the new logo. I don't like the new name. Someone made a joke that a mutual friend of ours on the internet who will not be named, when I was talking about Intel's new logo, they're like, "Wow, when did Logitech buy them?" Mm-hmm. And I totally agree because they have the same ridiculous lowercase aesthetic, but it's not good. It's not great.
Yeah. But yeah, it's nice, and I got this whole recording set up, and there's no other room. There's noise happening. There's nothing going on.
You got room to like wave your arms around and stuff, and spread out in there.
Oh man, so much arm waving. I got an area rug the other day. There's an area rug in here. That's nice.
Oh, where are you getting rugs from? We need some rugs.
Home Goods.
Home. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
It's kind of annoying because you have to go there. In person and browse what they have, and it varies from store to store, and you know, all the time-based stuff.
Yeah, I feel like our Home Goods has like 10 rugs there. I've never really looked with any sort of seriousness because their furniture section is like, here's one slightly damaged chair that doesn't match anything else. Here's another slightly damaged chair that doesn't match anything else.
Yeah, I would say that the real trick for Home Goods, along with TJ Maxx or Marshalls or any of the other things under that umbrella is that what you want to do is go way out there as far as you can from society where people live who have taste, and the further out you go, people are less motivated to buy the nice things, and so you're going to
your top of the line Home Goods is going to be something they're not going to buy, but it's still going to be well within your price range,
right? Yeah, it's going to, they're going to have more stuff in stock that you want, as opposed to the situation where you're in a city where you might be competing with more with people who maybe have the same interests and price range that you do.
Wow, you coastal elites, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, our coastal elite Home Goods situation.
Mm-hmm. No, to be honest, two of the pieces of decor in this house that are my favorite, that I believe at this point Amanda fully like rolls her eyes at and loathes, are from a TJ Maxx in about as far south as you could go in the Bay Area before you run into you know, the garlic fields. I got this sort of like,
you mean Gilroy? Yes,
Gilroy. And you know, you don't have to name check it for people who don't know what we're talking about, but I have these they're like, I don't know, glass like chicken looking things, or just big like globes that are chickens. I think you've seen pictures of them before, but they're sitting on our refrigerator. They've been there since we lived in San Jose. I got a blue one and a gold one. I named them. I don't even remember what their names are now, but they're still there on top of the fridge. And those were some of my favorite purchases at a TJ Maxx. And to be honest, that might be the only thing I've ever purchased at a TJ Maxx, but I like them.
Okay. Congrats.
Yeah, but we do need some rugs. I keep getting Instagram ads for an internet rug company that will not be named, that, you know.
Is it a washable rug?
It's a washable rug. Yeah, sure is.
Yeah, we bought one.
Oh, is it good?
It is very much like a washable rug in the sense that it is not a plush thing that you're going to.
It looks
to
real
be
thin.
At.
Because even in one of their ads, I saw there's like an underlayment underneath, and it's like, that must be a real thin rug because it needs like a pad underneath it to make it palatable.
Yeah, it's basically the pad provides the structure for it, the cushion and everything. And then there's a sleeve that it's basically there. The sleeve is the washable part that you take off and throw in the washer.
Interesting. So it's like a comforter.
Yeah, like in a duvet. Your rug duvet. But I would say that of the options for putting in a kitchen, I feel better about having something like that as opposed to like an indoor outdoor rug situation, or like an anti-fatigue mat, which has the real stylish Bed Bath & Beyond like traditional weird contemporary looks that you usually see.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you should just go restaurant grade, get one of those things that looks like it belongs in like an alleyway between restaurants where it's just got it's a hard black rubber with the holes cut in it.
Well, I think we want something a little more stylish than that. So
it's really for grip. It's for usability's sake.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, that's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
I just there's still a long list of things that I want and or need to do to our house, and one of them is removing all of the floors and putting in not these floors. And then of course we'll need many, many rugs.
Okay.
That is the weird irony of like removing carpet and things and like putting in hardwood or tile, that you're going to take that out and then you're just going to put something, you know, cloth back on top of it. So you're basically buying two floors.
Yeah.
But it's cleaner that way, right?
I suppose. I don't know. Jason's, he's come to the realization, I think, slowly, that hardwood floors are different from carpeted floors in that they make noise and are not necessarily just these solid sound dampening things that are on concrete pads.
Well, when you say noise, are you talking about creaking or are you talking about like that sort of like hollow clomping noise?
Both. Yeah. Because we have a house where parts of it are suspended above the ground, basically.
Ah.
And there's a subfloor under there and insulation and everything, but like you're still not, there's no way to get around the fact that that's going to like sound hollow because it's not on a concrete pad.
Right.
Where you just like have like one big solid sound absorbing surface. And then also creaking because again, it's just going to happen.
Yeah, if you have a wooden subfloor, you're going to get some creaking and some hollowness. Everything here is, most things here are just, you know, a concrete pad on clay ground. So what you get is you just get that sort of weird, sort of cheap reverberation sound from anything remotely solid shoe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's also, I like carpet. I just, you can't keep it clean.
No. That's one thing I was reminded of as I was clearing out of my apartment that I've been in for 15 years.
You take all the stuff out and see all the different colors.
Yeah.
Like, this is, I've been living in this. This is horrifying.
Yeah. It's really terrifying. Because, it may look pretty uniform with the furniture there, but when the furniture is not there, then you see the truth. It's not the kind of thing where it was ever any sort of special carpet or you'd pay to have it like steam cleaned or anything like that. But
yeah, we had one of those where we moved some boxes and bags that were meant to go to Goodwill like a year ago. And it's just like, oh, we need to vacuum over here, apparently.
Yeah. One really strange thing is I got an area rug on top of the wall-to-wall carpeting a long time ago. It's like as a stylistic choice to define the room better.
Sure.
And I got jute so that it wouldn't be carpet on carpet. It was a jute rug, which was really naughty natural fiber.
Kind of an outdoor look too, though, right?
I wouldn't say so. You have jute indoors. The thing is, it's just not it's not soft. It's a very like hay-like fiber that you would make something out of.
Sure.
So it's this dense, knotty rug. And then, like, eventually I just got rid of it because the rug had some spills on it, and there's just no way of getting that out of jute. And when I removed it, it left an impression of all of the knots of the rug in the carpet under it. And no matter how much I vacuumed, I could not get pattern out. And when all the furniture was gone, I could see still the edge of it where it had been underneath the couch, where I never moved that couch because it was too heavy, but like I could see where that impression was underneath there too. And it's just like, wow, like that stayed there this whole entire time underneath that other piece of furniture is just mind-blowing. But wall-to-wall carpeting, not something I don't think I'm gonna miss it very much.
Yeah, homes are probably like the closest analog people can use to get to sort of that like weird existential like impermanence mentality, where it's just like you know, I think back to all of the relatives who would like encase their couches in solid plastic or whatever. First of all, you're never using your actual thing. And then like what that plastic is doing to the actual place. Like, you know, everything that you try to protect just ends up getting ruined anyway. So you always have these like lines where it's like, look at that. The years have gone by and all of these things have been ruined in their own specific and interesting ways. So nothing is ever actually preserved. And the harder you try to create this sort of weird structure to preserve it, the more it just gets ruined in weirder and weirder ways.
Yeah, the more you tighten your grasp, the more systems just slip through your fingers. But
yeah, man, you just got to hang on loosely.
It is.
But don't let go.
It is. Yeah, I think that's also one of those challenges, too, though, of having a rental apartment for so long is you can't fix it. You have to rely on the benevolence of the people who manage and or own the property to fix it. And what I certainly found to be true in my scenario is that you would get things repaired, in quotes, and that would be the extent of maintenance that would occur. And when the repairs would happen, they would be very bad and very cheaply done and not to your taste. And there is nothing that you could really do about it because you're renting this place. You have no say over how it's going to happen.
But it's also good to learn that lesson that if something breaks, even if you can repair it, it's never going to be the same again.
Yes. Yeah.
There's no way to recreate the perfection from when it was new.
No, what was very funny to me, though, is the other day, Jason noticed there was a very tiny nick in the, we have these sort of like insets. The windows are inset. There's no trim around them. It's a very, you know, clean, modern thing. There's no sill or any of that. And the edge of one of them had a little nick in the plaster, which is, I think, a millimeter big. So like you really had to like get up on that to look and see that it was there. And he's like, how did that happen? Is the house falling apart? And I'm like, well, there's a handprint there on the wall. I think when the stagers took the furniture out of this house, they nicked it and it made a problem. And he's like, well, how did we fix it? And I'm like, well, you get paint or something and then you gotta do that whole thing with plaster and do that. But like, what, why? Like that's just going to be fixing that for no reason. Like, just leave that. And then like, we'll build up a list of things and we'll have a handyman do it all at the same time. Cause there are other little things around the house, but all he's been doing since he's had the house is just going around and being like, why is this one little thing like this? And it's just like, I don't know. Like, I didn't build it. I'm not an engineer. I'm going to just tell you that, you know, this is a house that was flipped and that, not everything is going to be like 100%.
Does Home Goods sell like a live, laugh, love kind of like decorative home good, but something that explains the aesthetic of Wabi Sabi that you guys can really sort of like lean into that? And, you know, it's we're accepting the imperfection of the home and we're moving on with our lives.
Yeah, I don't really think so. I think that's just life's a beach. But I don't think the
Joe Dirt section of Home Goods.
there's a surprising amount of Home Goods that is just like beach themed.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, we have some beach themed things from a friend who was like redoing their bathroom and like, yeah, this has been beach themed too long. Do you guys want some of the stuff? And we're like, sure. Now we have a beach themed bathroom for the next couple of years until we sort of pass this on to somebody else who wants a beach themed bathroom. But I have some, you know, like sand dollars and starfish from like probably when I was 6 or something. It was in the bathroom and it's still in one of the bathrooms here. You can always move seashells around and find some place for them.
Do you have any like fakey whitewashed stuff?
Probably.
Yeah.
I got this one that's like a wooden bird that looks kind of it's less sort of like beachy and more sort of like you know, sort of like Oceans and Lighthouse kind of vibe.
Oh, so more Cape Cod.
Yeah, more Cape. Yeah, that's the phrase I was looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By the way, I got your photo. I like your photo. Although I like the way that you framed it such that you can just barely see all the boxes poking in.
Oh,
the frame.
My God, there's so many boxes.
Yeah. This is a nice setup over here. Maybe you get a little bit of, you know, sound deadening foam on that little alcove there to the left and it'd be good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully this is not too echoey, but the sound sample that I took earlier sounded okay.
There's a touch of echo. Nobody's going to notice.
No, but the boxes are just out of control because a lot of the stuff that's in this particular space that I'm in is stuff from my apartment. Because of how the house is laid out, there's this spot that is basically its own apartment. And that just sort of naturally made sense to put that all there. Because all my kitchen stuff goes in that kitchen and et cetera.
Not to triangulate, but in this photo, is your desk positioned where you had originally suggested the desk would be positioned? Because I feel like it was supposed to be on the wall behind to the left.
Yes. And the problem with that is the window that you see there covered with the paper blinds.
Yes.
The bright, scorching hot sunlight that exists from about 10 to 1 right now during the early morning and noontime, it just makes into an unbearable glare where you can't actually see anything on the monitor screen.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you got you're looking into the sun, so it's not on your monitor.
Yeah, right, exactly. Just might as well be staring straight into the sun.
Well, you know, different times of the year you can rearrange your office. That's the one thing I was going to say about you know, the carpet patterns and not rearranging things because it's somebody else's problem when stuff breaks. Is like, I feel like when I was a kid, I used to like completely rearrange my bed like every 6 months or a year or something, just like move everything around, and you know, you basically have a new room. And you don't do that in houses or apartments because it's a huge pain in the ass and you're old and you're tired, but you know, you should do it more often.
Yeah, also things are heavier. For children is so much lighter.
I had a pretty heavy bed. I had a water bed when I was young. I'm not sure why I did, but I had a water bed.
Yeah, it was so you could have back problems in your later life. It's not,
you know,
good
what?
For you.
Do I need to file a class action lawsuit against my parents for giving me a waterbed when I was a child?
Yeah, sure, why not? Pretty sillier lawsuits.
Yeah. I mean, eventually I took the water bladder part out and put a mattress inside there, so it was just sort of sunken inside this weird wood frame.
Mm-hmm. You could have just been like real fancy and said it was a platform bed.
God. Eventually that bed, it was such solid, heavy, sturdy wood that eventually it became a workbench for my dad.
Wow.
He took it apart and turned it into like a garage workbench that lasted for like 25 years.
That's kind of impressive. The ability to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it was like the sides of it were, I don't know, probably 3-inch thick pieces of wood, and they were, you know, a foot tall.
Whew.
It was a hefty bed.
Well, it had to hold up that water. What size bed was it? Was it a double, queen?
I think it was definitely not a queen. It might have been a double or a full or something, because okay. I was a small child.
Okay. Yeah.
Time was.
And I had a cousin who had a waterbed, and it was also similarly huge and enormous. And I think his was a queen, but it was fascinating as a child because you'd be like, oh, wow, it moves. But because it was one of those sloshy ones. I don't know if that's what you had.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But the frame of that thing was so thick. And eventually it was, like you said, replaced with a mattress. And it's still just like, what a beast of a piece of furniture that thing is.
Who buys a child a waterbed, to be honest? Like,
I don't know. Did you say you wanted it? Is it your fault?
I have no recollection of that, but like, when did waterbeds go from like creepy pickup artists in the 70s to something that a kid would want?
I mean, I don't know.
You know who else had a waterbed?
Who?
Jimmy Buffett. He's got a waterbed. It's filled up for me and you. Oh God, that's the one song.
You know what you should do though, Dan?
Hmm.
You should get a little Echo Dot and put it in your SeaTime Cape Cod bathroom, mm-hmm. and get a little like motion sensor. And when somebody comes in to the bathroom, it just starts playing Jimmy Buffett songs. And I think that would really just set the mood for when they have to, you know, poop.
It just automatically starts playing it without any sort of instruction.
Right, exactly.
Hmm.
Son of a sailor, like as someone's, you know, got to go.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've solved problems that we are having in our lives with regard to sleep and sandwiches and carpets. So our work here is done.
But we didn't do anything. It's good to be back, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Back in front of this microphone, way over here. And most of my bourbon is gone.
Oh, no. Almost all my water's gone.
It's hot in here.
I took a sip, and it was it had tilted over in the little tumbler so far that I had a big sip of air, which was sad.
It doesn't sound very refreshing.
No. No,
what's your ThermPro say? You get your ThermPro nearby?
No, the ThermPro's down in the kitchen. I need to buy another one for up here. But it's very comfortable in here right now. It did smell like food, though, because the AC system sucked up all the, I guess, cooking smells and just blows it into my office for some reason.
Interesting.
Yes, it's very interesting.
You got to talk to your HVAC guy to see where your return lines are.
I don't want to. It sounds expensive.
It's not something you're going to do about it.
Yeah. I just want to know, just for fun.
Just for fun, like, how is my air conditioning done incorrectly?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exciting. All right. Mm. Well, until next time, stay cool.
It's 80.4 in here.
It's relatively cool for humidity. Yeah.
Oh, it's too hot. Anyway, yeah, sure. Stay cool. I ruined the sign off.
It's fine.
It's fine.